fresh out of a meeting with a bunch of investors. The conversation comes up pretty much every single week here at Technori. What is the difference between raising smart money, raising any kind of money, raising, can we say dumb money? Is it just rich dudes? I don't even know what dumb money is. I'll take anybody's money, I think, for the most part. But obviously, if you follow Technori, you know kind of our history on the show and on stage. Companies have come on stage and raised more than $1 billion. So we know a little bit about raising capital, and we've played around in a million spaces, whether that's newly crypto or equity crowdfunding. I'm a huge fan of equity crowdfunding for the purposes of startup capital. One of the areas that I think gets sort of brushed over too quickly, and I'm not sure if that's because people don't want to share what their real value and the value prop is going to be or not, but it's smart money. So when we talk to companies, if you're telling me, listen, man, I know exactly what I need, I know who I need, I know everything, I just need a check. And quite honestly, if you're an early stage company, that option for a loan is not there. So what we would recommend is go find a dummy and take some money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're a company who has very, very clear defined needs, we need to get into X market. We need to find our customer. We need to know what it costs to acquire our customer. We need to build this tech one time, not 15 times. You know, there's a million things, especially like I was on a call recently with a company that is playing hardware and software. Well, that's a whole other ballgame, because now you're talking about raising capital from people who actually have an understanding of supply chain versus those who don't, and expect you to pay them back immediately upon profitability, versus knowing that taking money out of the business after profitability is stupid if you're in the hardware space, because you need money to leverage to buy more hardware. There's a lot of questions that I think ultimately founders don't know. And I don't want to call it investors, but I do pretty much weekly, because it's just easy for them to rest on their laurels and be like, listen, I've got the money and you've got this opportunity. I'll give you X, you give me Y. And they can't really ever answer, like, what is the smart, like, part of their money? Where does the brains come into the money? And, for most of you, little pro tip, if they can't answer it, if they just go immediately reflex to network, I think maybe it's time for you to find another meeting. I'm going to misquote this, but there's some crazy stat out there for the average raiser of capital. They take something like 90 meetings at an average of 20 minutes a meeting. It averages out to an insane amount of time that you could quite honestly probably have sold your business in that amount of time. You could have sold some product and had plenty of capital to grow. So, be cautious, maybe, about how you raise capital. And so without, you know, further ado in that, I think I figured I'd bring in some companies that people can talk to and relate to. Swap Motors is one of them. And we've got Sanjay Patel and we've got Alex Johnson. Is that correct?
Yes,
that's correct. We've got these guys sitting here in studio. You can check us out on Facebook, check us out on Instagram, see the pictures of their smiling, beautiful faces in this ridiculous studio here at WGN Radio. But you guys are currently, like every company, like every politician, always raising, always campaigning for capital. But I think, you know, you guys more than most will resonate with the concept of smart money. And so I figured, rather than me just sit here and pontificate continually about what is smart money, I would ask you, to you, what is smart money?
Yeah.
So I'll leave it to Sanjay. Just tell me a little bit about what you view as smart money as an entrepreneur, what you're looking for, not about the business. We'll get into the business and all that stuff in a minute. But I just, what is your natural inclination when I say smart money? What do you think?
So you hit all the high notes, right? You hear a lot about, you know, fundraising and investments, and especially in the West Coast, people throw money at.
Oh my God!
Ideas, right? So when we think about, Alex and I think about smart money, every dollar's got to be tied to a strategic plan, right? So to your point, if they can't answer the question in terms of how that money will be utilized, then there's something wrong.
I have to tell you a stupid stat. The Kauffman Foundation has a statistic in the West Coast. I mean, I'm sure it's global, but West Coast is where I think they did the study, that the average two-person startup with at least one, or maybe it's a three-person startup, regardless, with at least one person as a graduate of Stanford, has the average valuation of $1.5 million at onset.
That's crazy.
That's the only qualifications. Like, they don't, like, that doesn't even qualify, like, what they do.
That fathoms me.
It's insane. Yeah. So, like, to that point, like, rich people are throwing around money in the West Coast. What are some of the things as a founder? So, like, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, how old are you?
I'm 42.
Is this your first startup?
No, I've
not first business, but like, you know, first like
first startup at this level.
Okay. Yes. So I ask that because it's like, I think one of the things that gets overlooked really quickly with founders is like understanding who you are mm-hmm. and like the scheme of things and like what information do you know yep. and what information do you need to know?
Yep.
So like to you, I'm just guessing and, you know, a little bit of background on your LinkedIn and so forth, but you have been a business operator for a while.
Oh yeah.
You don't need to go through some accelerator boot camp to show you how to right. sign up for QuickBooks.
Right.
You need someone who can quickly accelerate what you already know.
Exactly.
Right. So like, exactly. what are some of the things that as a founder who has plenty of business experience, and of course, Alex chime in as well. What are some of the things that for you personally, you would like to see beyond the cash from an investor?
Yeah. Well, I think strategic partnership is kind of critical, is crucial, because the way we look at when we need to get funded or when we need some funds to actually take a strategy forward is when we actually have a need for it, right? Whether it's acquisition or a crossing a geography, there's got to be a tie to an alignment of a need, right?
Yeah.
So when we go for funding, and we had actually a lot of requests for, can we invest? We actually pushed them aside respectfully and said, we're not ready yet.
How much are you trying to raise at this time?
Right now, actually, Alex answered that question.
I kind of get into it. When we started the company, we wanted to build a product. We wanted to validate our product. Then only we want to go raise money. So we've been bootstrapped till this day.
And you guys have been around for now how long?
About 2 years.
About 2 years. Yes. And I guess we should probably say what the company does, Swap Motors, yep. just high level of what it does. And then we'll dig into the meat and potatoes in a minute here.
No problem. Why don't I let Sanjay explain what it sure. is and I'll take it over from
there. Yep. So it starts with a story, right? Any startup idea, all the good ones or yeah. successful, starts with a challenge. Right?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is no different where Alex had a challenge in terms of selling his vehicle. And he did a test in the market. He had an intern go to 10 different dealers, and he found that every dealer offered a different offer, right? And the range was $6,000 between all the
wow.
offers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a right? huge, that's a, can I ask what kind of car it was?
It was a BMW 750 2013.
Okay, so my neighbor just bought this. He probably bought your car. was it the one with black rims and all
not
pimped out? No, but at any rate, no, but that like so. There's a lot of that's a lot of margin.
It is
like six grand is like is a difference maker.
Yeah, yeah. definitely, and
absolutely.
And I was kind of upset actually.
I bet.
You know, then I took it to six different or eight different dealers. The price varied. Then I tried to sell it online, Craigslist, Cars.com. I would get random phone calls from wholesalers, dealers. I didn't really get a call from a private buyer.
Yep.
That's when I realized there's a problem. And we can change it. And Sanjay is my childhood friend. He's a tech guy. He was working at IBM. I called him. I'm like, listen, I got this idea. I think we can do something about it. And
so, yeah, what's the platform you built?
So we built a fully open source JavaScript platform, right? And basically that started 2 years ago. And since then, we've introduced two channels. The first channel is the auction channel, which we started with. And the whole premise is a private seller like myself can literally list a vehicle that's been inspected to a network of dealers. And the dealers can bid on these cars, right? Completely online, fully inspected. So the transparency and confidence is there on the seller and buyer side. But then we quickly realized a year later that people still want more money, right? Selling to a dealer is maybe a fraction of the amount you can potentially get
yep.
because that dealer has to resell it, right? So if you want the most money, you sell to a private party, right? Hence the second channel evolved. That was about a year ago, and January of this year, we launched our second channel, and we had tremendous feedback. So now we're serving both markets, where people have a time constraint. They want to get rid of the car quick. They can sell it through the auction model, less than a week. If they want more money, they can sell it through a listing service. It gives them access to a network of private buyers. So we're serving both channels and both options that are in the market. And the feedback on both sides, it's tremendous.
I mean, we've had other, CarLease.com, we've had other groups on the show in the auto space. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the auto space, to be honest with you. I think that there's an incredible amount of disruption to be had here still. And that, I mean, I include parking and automated cars in the space, obviously, because it's in a big piece. But I even talking about this, like the marketplace is totally broken.
It
the
is.
Experience it, as a buyer is
It's been broken for
up.
Years and nobody yeah. has changed it.
Well, it's like, it's not just... broke. I mean, the bad part is it's broken the way you saw, Alex, with like the disparity between amount of money, but it's broken also on the fact that like just the experience of trying to list a car sucks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the experience of like, there's nothing more annoying than having wholesalers start pinging you. Because yes. You're getting, it's a waste of my time. Like
I would get dealers pinging me. I would get wholesalers pinging me.
Everybody but who you want.
Exactly.
Which is crazy. So like one of the things that I think is an interesting conversation segue here is, I don't know if you guys have even announced specifically how much you're trying to raise. Do you have a, I mean, you don't have to say it.
Yeah, no. Actually, we like Sanjay mentioned, we have a platform. Platform is working. Buyers are happy. Sellers are happy. Now we're ready to take a next step.
Yep. So your growth capital.
Right now, we're in conversation with some of the bigger firms, bigger automotive players out there.
Yep.
Rather than raising $5 million, $10 million, we will partner up with one of these big players who has a big market share. We can.
So can I say the player? When you mean player, you mean like... like automakers and things like
these big listing companies.
Okay, listing companies.
Yeah. Not
traditional investors. I was just trying to make sure.
Exactly. We're not looking at a traditional investor right now.
Which is, to me, brilliant. I'm so glad. Like, I did not know that beforehand. Yeah. I was literally going to say to you, we were just talking about this in our meeting before we came here today about the fact that there is no better investor than a first customer.
Yep.
Exactly.
Because they understand everything about what they could do to make it better, because they would if they could. And honestly, like your return on value to them is really easy to make because they're getting a return just by using you as a customer.
It is a match made in heaven for us and for them, right? Yep. Because all the current players in this market are focusing on dealers.
Yep.
They're listing dealers' car. If you look at Craigslist, Cars.com, Auto Trader, 90-some percent of the cars they list are listed by dealers. There's not really a real player in the private market or peer-to-peer market.
Yep.
They all want to get into it. They want to do it. Why not work with us, build with us, and then they have an option.
Yeah, no, it's funny because it's almost the exact opposite of what the typical company trying to find an investor is like, hey, can you help me get into this and I'll give you some carry in the upside? And you're going like, no, I can help you get in where I'm at. I just need you to help me get mass people.
Exactly.
You've got the list. I got the tech.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I want to ask you guys, how did you, because this is an interesting, I guess, finding for me, because usually we sit here with these companies and they're like, I say, oh, you should reach out to you should reach out to Ford. Like as an example, this is a bad example, but one nonetheless. So Parkwiz, big fan of Parkwiz and the guys there. And we were having a conversation, and this is like 2 years ago. It was about almost exactly 2 years ago. And I was saying, it was around the auto show was coming up, and I was saying, you guys, you're going face to face with Spot Hero. One of you is going to have to start looking a different direction. It's going to have to be a pivot somewhere. Somebody's going to, or eat one of the other. Why don't you start looking at the autonomous situation and talk to Ford and other companies that know that the final mile is their problem, and you have the final mile. That's where you park the car.
Yeah, but I think Ford and Chevy, these they're focusing more on new cars.
Right? Sure.
Our focus.
Well, yeah, I don't mean for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant for them.
Yeah.
I just meant for them. Example, yeah. Not for you guys. I meant for them. So I'm saying this to them, and they're going, we want to raise money and we want to expand. And I'm going, why not look towards somebody who like literally wants to conquer the space you own?
Right.
And it was a aha moment. And they have since partnered with Ford, and they're doing a great, everything is great. And I'm not taking credit for that at all. It was them who did it. I'm just saying it was a suggestion.
Of course, yeah.
But to you guys, most people come in here and they're like, I never thought of reaching out to the people that we do business with. What led you, like, what was the experience like as guys bootstrapping your company to get to the point to know we should partner with our listing groups?
We were lucky enough to meet some great founders, tech founders from Chicago. I don't know if I can mention his name. There's a big company. He's a founder CEO. He raised a lot of money throughout the years. I think now he's, I think it's a $10 billion company. He has 2% of the company.
Yeah.
One thing he said, do not go out and raise money if you don't need it.
Is he a bald guy by chance?
So that really resonated with Sanjay and I.
Yeah.
We didn't need the money. We want to build a platform. We want to validate our product. We don't want to raise all this money, keep it in a bank for no reason.
Yep.
And we talked to many other tech founders and people who have made mistakes, people who have raised a lot of money and gave up a lot of the percentage of the company. Yeah, these are the feedback we got from them.
Yeah.
And we took it very personally and, we kind of, I guess, listened to what they had to tell us.
So it goes back to your comment about smart money.
Yep. Right?
That's how you started the show. That's exactly what it is. Take the money when you need it. If you just take money for no reason, it's going to sit there and you're tendency to use it at some point, right? But
you expectation you use it. Exactly. That's the downside. Like right. you can't. They would be upset if you took the money and just jammed it in your bank account or put it in a savings account. Like I could make better interest somewhere else. Yeah, I gave it to you to make money.
Why use the money if you don't need it? So just because somebody gave me $5 million, I should go spend it on marketing budget for $2.5 million.
But that makes two stupid people, right? Because that makes the stupid investor for putting too much money in a company at a crappy valuation who didn't need it, or the idiot founder who took the money and then spent it all on stuff and it's gone.
Yeah, you hear stories about these startups who fail, right?
Because too much money.
Get the lavish office, right? They spend on infrastructure and just other knickknacks that are not necessary to grow the business.
Yep.
Right? Because they have access. You know how it is. It's out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
If the money's not there, you're not going to spend it.
No, and you will also stretch further. Like you'll work harder. I found with us, like one of the biggest success points we've had is we've had nothing. So it's always been like, well, you know, I can't even tell you what the business model is because it's not totally there yet. But I know where I'm going. I know the roadmap, but I can't explain it to you right now. And as an investor, what am I going to get out of this? Like, I'm going to tell you, like, trust me, we're going to get there sometime. We're not going to make money now, or really, I can't even tell you when exactly. But trust me. And then the valuation you get is garbage.
Right.
The amount of money you get is not enough to do anything substantial.
Exactly.
It's like a catch. So it's really cool to see that you guys have kind of gotten into this spot where you've been able to find strategic partners. What does a strategic partner potentially bring you guys in addition to the money?
They can take us swap motors all over the country a lot faster than $100 million.
Yep.
That's what we feel.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, faster growth, faster to capture the market. Because even if you look at Uber, they spend hundreds of billions of dollars marketing it. And it's not worth it for us to raise a lot of money, give up so much percentage. We'd rather take that percentage of the equity and give it to a strategic partner who can help us grow faster.
Well, because they already have the conversions.
Exactly.
They already know what
they
it
have
costs.
The traffic.
Yeah, they have it.
Yeah.
It's super smart. I mean, like, you mentioned this, Alex, about the numerous tech founders you talk to. We've had a bunch of them, obviously, on this show. And I've used the quote a million times, so I'll give Peter Rail a break on this quote. But, like, The idea that you should be set, like the capital you're trying to bring in, you should try to drive through revenue first. Yeah. You know, there's certain technologies that doesn't lend itself that way. Like you look at Ocean as an example, like CleverSafe with Chris Gladwin. That's a thing where he had to raise millions and millions and millions. And then at the end, there's the big payday. But like he had to tell his investors, like, there won't be payday for a long, long time. That different story. If you're in a business that is a revenue generator, that's a high transactional business, you have no excuse really to raise capital except for to go to new markets. And if you can do a strategic partnership, it's a no-brainer.
It's a win-win on both sides, right?
So absolutely.
Strategics we're talking to, there is a, whether you call it a gap or a need, it's there on their side.
Yeah.
But we also have a gap or a need that we need their help with. So when you become a partner, it's about how do you help each other? And then go to the next level.
Yeah,
that's exactly our approach in this way.
It's kind of cool because like so you guys have got this down now. It sounds like on the B side.
Yeah.
So like finding those strategic partners. One of the things we talk about a lot on the show is equity crowdfunding, and you've got the other side of the marketplace is customers. Is there a potential for you guys to raise money from your customers and get validation?
Actually, it's so funny. A couple of our early customers wanted to put money with us.
Yeah. You should have taken it.
Yeah. You know, like we wanted to build it, like you said, we want to build something,
yeah.
You know, and we want to validate it before we go out and raise money.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like I look at like the equity crowdfunding thing, what I like and the misnomers, like every investor shits on this, like they hate this idea because it takes away the power that they have all the money.
Yes.
But the reality is like one of the biggest reasons that I'm a huge fan of it is you can get your platform in front of all of your customers, let them try it and be like, if you love it. We'd love to have you contribute to a round of ours, and they can invest for like $10, $25, $50.
Yeah, we should,
and it's just it's a crowd safe.
Yeah, yeah.
So like in the end, it's just a safe. It doesn't matter whether it's one LLC or 52. When the deal is done and the cap is met, they're paid out on terms or they're not.
Yeah, it's definitely an option.
But it's interesting to me because you guys fit. You're one of those few companies that really like everyone says they're a double sided marketplace. You guys really actually are. Because one person needs the inventory in the business side, and the other ones just need to list.
Yep.
And it's
really time and money, right? If I want to sell a car, I don't have the time. I need to get rid of it right now. We have an option.
Yep.
There's only two ways to sell a car in this country. You can sell it to a wholesaler or dealer, or you can sell it to another friend, family, or private buyer along the line.
Yep.
We have both options.
Or you can bury it. Okay. People in Iowa bury their cars, which is very bizarre to me. But nonetheless. So tell me a little bit more about sort of the journey that you two guys have had to get to this point, because building a company, as you mentioned before, you know, you've not built one at this stage before. There's a lot of learning curves and things to deal with, and the tech community is a, like, I love Chicago's tech community. We've been a part of it for, I think, since the beginning, more or less. But it's fickle. There's like little groups, like high school. There's like little groups to get help in. Like, what has it been like to
join? Alex came maybe 2.5 years ago and said, Sanchez, idea of noodling on. What do you think? Initially, I said no, because I had a full-time job.
Yeah.
I had two kids, family, right? And I did more research.
Your wife loved this.
Yeah.
Just really thrilled
with
talk.
Alex.
Let Alex in our house again.
Well, before I started the journey, I said, honey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. You know, it sounds great because there's a huge opportunity. And when things are great, things are amazing.
Yeah.
But there are times when it's going to dip. We've got to reassess while we're doing this and all that, right? So we had that conversation early on. And obviously, we're here because of that conversation worked out well, right? But it provided I had to make a choice between IBM, full-time career, corporate America, or jumping into this with my childhood friend.
Yep.
And whether it was swap motors or anything else, I chose this path because of the person,
right?
You can't survive what it takes to do a startup like this unless there's a strong relationship, right? Yeah. Because we do battle. We do come out with the great things. We brainstorm. We do all that in the conference room, right? But it takes the will, the power, the loyalty, and credibility to sustain all that, right?
I totally agree. I think it's interesting with regard to the founder stories, because usually I say it's either a one-man show, one-woman show, and they're typically a sociopath, and I could have just as heated a conversation with the wall as I could with the person next to me. And then the other success stories that I see are like duos that sort of have like this unbreakable bond, and you see it with like very different people, but like Brad Keywell and Eric Lefkoski. Mm-hmm. They've done this like 15 times now.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not like, they don't even hang out. Like it's not, they're not, you know, they're not like chummy guys that go hang out at the bar. But they have a bond. And they have sort of a, one knows what they're doing in one thing and the other knows the other thing. Yeah. And it's just, it's interesting. I'm not comparing you guys to like the guys who've built like five unicorns yet, but in the end though, you've got to be able to have a fight and throw everything you've got at each other and then walk away and be like, all right, well, you know,
it's part of the process.
Try it tomorrow.
Yeah. We believe we can change it, you know, because the market's broken. Nobody has really tried to change it. And you know, like we had a sale yesterday, our seller was happy, buyer was happy. And one of my employees who did the deal, he called me, you know what, it's so satisfying to see two people happy.
Yeah.
And we think we can make millions of people happy.
I don't disagree. Like I said before, I think this is a really hot industry, and especially, and you guys obviously already know this, you know, with the grand, I don't want to say, exodus is the wrong word, but this like movement shift for younger people to rent cars, lease cars, take Ubers, take Zipcars, Toro, all this stuff. There's sort of like this exodus of cars, which is amazing right now for you guys, and the fact that there's a huge inventory surplus. Or at least
exactly. They all have to sell their car one day.
Exactly. But like the cars aren't going to a car graveyard. They're going to end up in someone else's hands because there's just going to be like, I've got a guy who lives in my building. He's got six cars. I swear to God, every single time a for sale sign goes up on a car on the lot, this asshole buys it. He goes and he's buying people's garage spaces. Yeah. It's a real thing. And it's one of those things that, like the problem started. If you don't know the person to buy the car, you go to a dealer at this point because I would rather deal with a broker at the dealer trying to like jam this car down my throat than go online and have solicitors.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's just the problem. That's
People don't have a lot of options. You know, sellers didn't have a lot of options, so they went to CarMax or other dealers and just sold their car.
Before we exit the show, what's the best value prop you guys have with Swap Motors? What's the number one thing that a customer is going to walk away and be like, yep, that's why I went?
Trust and transparency.
Perfect.
We pride ourselves on that with everything we do, right? Because the market, the industry, it's not there, right? You can't trust the people that you're dealing with, sellers or buyers. There's no transparency in the condition of the vehicle, right? What you're buying, what you're driving 40 miles to go see, it's not there. So we pride ourselves as an anchor point around providing trust and transparency.
Very cool. I love it. I really do like
that. And value for both buyers and sellers.
Well, yeah, that's I said that before, that you're the double-sided marketplace. That's why I love this industry right now, because it really is needed on both the the business side of it has done a really poor job of staying up with the Joneses, so to speak. And the buyers, honestly, just fatigued.
Yes.
Yep. I love your shoes, by the way.
Thank you.
Way to rock. Yeah, we got to say. Way to rock. Where do people go to use the product or to use Swap Motors and all that?
Swapmotors.com.
Oh, nice. Who got the domain? I got to ask.
Alex Batchelor.
Congratulations. We were trying to do a swap real estate one, uh-huh. And like cars, every domain with a car or automobile.
The reason we pick motors, because today is cars, tomorrow is boats, then trucks.
My man. Branding. We didn't even get into the branding part of this stuff. Who's the brand
wizard?
Anything
motorized, right? It could be traded.
Could be anything. Yeah. You guys are some smart dudes.
Thank you.
No question about it. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You can catch this episode and more at the brand new technori.com website and our new listen.technori app, which you should check out, listen.technori.com. You can check out this episode, many, many more. Follow us on Facebook at Technori. Follow us on Twitter at Technori. Follow us on Instagram at Technori. And you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.